speak. We began looking at this text last week and last Sunday, and we see that in verse 2, Paul lays out three things, three exhortations for us. He says, first of all, devote yourself to prayer. Secondly, he says, keep alert in it. And third, he says, keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So we see three things from this text, and then Paul, after he gives that exhortation to prayer, he has a prayer request for himself. And we've been focusing on verse 2, devote yourself to prayers, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Last week we saw Paul called us to be devoted to prayer, to continue in prayer, to be steadfast in prayer, to be always in prayer. In short, we are to be a people of prayer. And that's the call that Paul made for us last week, and we looked at that. Now this morning, I want to focus on keep alert in it. And then we'll close with an attitude of thanksgiving. Well, what does it mean to be alert in prayer? What does it mean to be alert in prayer? Or maybe your version says to be watchful in prayer. In fact, let's go through some different versions. The New American Standard says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it. The ESV says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. The King James says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. And the New King James says, continually earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. So we have these synonyms of being alert, watchful, vigilant. Actually, in the Greek, the literal translation is to keep awake. Be awake. Be alert. Be sharp. Be vigilant in prayer. In prayer, we are to have a mental alertness to the dangers of life and the needs to those around us. It's an awareness that puts us in a position that we're always prepared to pray. We are alert. We're watchful. Our prayers are not meant to be lifeless and mechanical and careless. Our prayers should be prayers that are full of life. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So here we see to be alert in prayer is to be watchful in prayer to our spiritual health. When we are alert in prayer, we are watchful, we are alert to our spiritual health. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul writes, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We're to be watchful. We're to be alert and watchful over the needs of others. Jesus said, be alert to your spiritual health. Paul says, be alert to the needs of others. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober of spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be sober in spirit, be alert. Because of the devil. To be alert in prayer is to be mindful that we're in spiritual warfare. Again, Paul says in Ephesians 6:18-19, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that an utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. To be alert in prayer is to know the circumstances of life all around us and near us so that we can pray for the gospel. So let's kind of work through some of these thoughts on how to be alert in prayer. Matthew 26:41. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Being alert in prayer is to be watchful in prayer in regards to your spiritual health. Octavius Winslow, now long gone and dead, but yet still lives in his works and his books. He says, if there is one consideration more humbling than another to a spiritually minded believer, it is that after all God has done for him, after all the rich displays of his grace, the patience and tenderness of his instructions, the repeated disciplines of his covenant, and the tokens of love received, and the lessons of experience learned, there should still exist in the heart a principle, the tendency of which is to secret, perpetual, and alarming departure from God. Hear what he says? Despite all that God has done for us, and is doing for us, and will do for us, there is a tendency which is to secret, perpetual, alarming departure from God. Morris Roberts, who is alive and not dead, and a great Bible teacher, he says this: the soul is constituted that it craves fulfillment from things outside of itself and will embrace earthly joys for satisfaction when it cannot reach spiritual ones. Not for nothing did Satan draw Eve to see the forbidden fruit grew on a tree which was pleasant to the eyes and on a tree to be desired. Now get this. The believer is in spiritual danger if he allows himself to go for any length of time without tasting of the love of Christ and savoring the felt comforts of the Savior's presence. When Christ ceases to fill the heart with satisfaction, our souls will go in silent search for other lovers. There's a principle that's true of you and true of me. There is a secret, perpetual, and alarming departure from God. It can happen. It can happen to us. Part of prayerful alertness is to pray to God to reveal to us our spiritual state so we don't fall into the path that we're prone to wander into, a departure from God. Which spiritual direction are you moving into in your life now? And do you know? Do you know? I think Mr. Winslow was very intelligent and very spiritual when he said, it's a secret, perpetual, and alarming departure. It's not like I wake up on Thursday and depart from God. Usually it's slow and progressive. And usually we're not catching it because why? Because we're not devoted to prayer and we're not alert in prayer. We're not alert to our spiritual health. As responsible adults, we are careful, at least we should be, for our physical health, aren't we? We try to eat healthy, we go to the doctor when our body tells us something is wrong, and we go to the doctor at least once a year for a checkup to ensure that there's nothing hidden going on inside of us that should concern us. Just as we have physical checkups, we should call upon God in prayer to have spiritual checkups. This is being alert. When we call upon God to do a spiritual checkup on us, that's being alert in prayer. Listen to King David's alertness in prayer as he prays for a spiritual checkup. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Two paths, two journeys. There's the way everlasting, and then there's this grievous way. And David wanted to know, Lord, which path am I on? And would you help me to see it and know it? Would you give me a spiritual alertness that I'll know if I'm on the path that's grievous or on the path that leads to everlasting life? That's a good thing. And brothers and sisters, part of God's will for his children is that we come to him for a spiritual checkup. So being alert in prayer is to come to God, admitting our lack of self-knowledge and asking him to tell us how we're doing spiritually. That takes a lot of courage, but that takes alertness and prayer. Coming in God and saying, God, would you show me my life right now? Speak to me. Show me my heart. Show me which direction am I going into. I am in a grievous way, a way that is departing from you, drawing away from you. Or am I on the way of life everlasting, a life where I'm drawing nearer to you? J.I. Packer has written a book. He calls it Praying Our Way Through Duty to Delight. Let's get that right, that title. Praying Our Way Through Duty to Delight. And in that little book, during the chapter, he has this a chapter on the Christians checking themselves. And he lists several things, several diagnostic tests that God does on us as we pray to him, as we're alert in prayer, as we pray. And I want to just read a few of those to you. One of God's diagnostics, when he gives us a spiritual checkup, all right, one of his diagnostic procedures is that God checks up on our faith. And here are some angles from which God checks on our faith. And listen to what J.I. Packer says. Here's some of the questions. Do we really know what we should know about God? And do we trust in Christ as we should? That's a question we should ask ourselves in prayer. Do we really know what we should know about God? And do we trust in Christ as we should? Do we look out for and take careful note of God's promises found in Scripture? And do we claim them in our prayers and rely on Him to keep them? Does our faith bring us peace of heart, peace with God through forgiveness, peace with circumstances through leaning on the Lord, peace with people because through faith we love them? So do we really know what we should know about God? Do you really know what you should know about God? And do you trust in Christ as you should? You know, you can know your spiritual state of your soul by examining what satisfies it. If you are spiritually satisfied with an occasional visit to church, with a casual perusal of the Bible once in a while, with a quick thank you for your food at the Lord at the table, and that's it for your communion with God, and maybe throw in a daily bread once a month. Like if your soul is satisfied with that, a healthy soul pants for God, hungers and thirsts for righteousness. It cannot be satisfied with a lifeless form. So if you find yourself being satisfied with a crumb here and a crumb there, you're in danger. You're in danger. I have to tell you that. You're in danger. Because in a healthy pursuit of God, in the way of everlasting, we want to know God and we want to trust in Christ. Ask you this, do we look out for and take careful note of God's promises found in Scripture? And do we claim them in our prayers and rely on Him to keep them? Again, Octavius Winslow says, when a professing man can read his Bible with no spiritual taste, or when he searches it not with sincere desire to know the mind of the Spirit in order to a holy and obedient walk, but with merely curious or literary taste or aim, it is sure evidence that his soul is making but a retrograde movement in real spirituality. Like, how is your life with the Bible? As you read it, as you commune with God through it, or is the Bible just something you're picking up so that you can debate and argue, or curious about certain things, or you want to discover the newest controversy? Like, is it all about out there? about them? Or is this your communion with God? Are you reading the scriptures and allowing God to speak to you, and then you speak to God? If you're just doing out of curious or literary taste and aim, it's sure evidence that your soul is making but retrograde movement in real spirituality. Do you live by the conviction, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, that the Bible is what it says itself to be? All scripture is inspired by God as a prophet for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Does our faith bring us peace of heart? Peace with God through forgiveness. Peace with circumstances through the leaning on the Lord. Peace with people because through faith we love them. A mark of spiritual health is what it finds in Christ. All of our corruptions are carried to His grace. All of our guilt are carried to His blood. All of our trials are carried to His heart. Is that your relationship with the Lord? When you look at yourself and you just see how corrupt you are, do you rejoice in grace? When you look at the guilt of your sin, do you see the freedom of the blood? When your life is filled with trials, do you find comfort in the God who comforts you? Do you carry your trials to His heart? What would God find if you asked Him to check your faith? And what should I do? Well, this text tells us what to do. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Do you find your heart lukewarm? Devote yourself to prayer. Here's what Paul prayed. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Are you lukewarm in your life? Do you test that you're drifting from God? What are you to do? Devote yourself to prayer. Talk to God about it. Be honest with Him. Say, God, my heart is far from You. I'm cold. Keith Green wrote a song. I don't remember all the words, but my heart is dry. My eyes are dry. My heart is cold. Whatever. I don't know the words. I shouldn't have said it. But he wrote a song about that. How dry eyes and cold heart. And what do? We're to be devoted to prayer. Come to God and tell Him about it. And look to what He promised. Do you have lifeless Bible reading? Is the Bible a dead book to you? What are you going to do about it? What does Paul say? He says, devote yourself to prayer. What can prayer do? How about this prayer? Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in Your law. Why not pray that prayer? Why don't you pray that way? When you open God's word, say, God, open my eyes. In myself, God, I cannot commune with You in this book. But with Your help, I can. If You just open my eyes. So God checks up on our faith, but God also checks up on our repentance. The second thing God does in checking our spiritual health is to check up on our repentance. And again, I want to read to you J.I. Packer, what he said. He said, over and over again, we see that repentance is more than a matter of regret and remorse for what has gone wrong. It is a matter of mounting resistance to the impulse to go wrong again. It is, in other words, a change in life that we are constantly seeking to make, a matter essentially of the will rather than of the feeling. A life of repentance is, in reality, a life of self-denial. When Jesus talked about self-denial, he was, as Richard Baxter, the Puritan, neatly put it, telling us that we have to say no to the carnal self. That is, to our inner selfhood that has been shaped by sin into the mold of an ugly, self-serving egocentricity. The misshapen carnal self seeks to lead us upon its own path, the path of self-centeredness, self-dependence, always reaching out to grasp and use power, position, privilege, and possessions for the purposes of pleasure and pride. Jesus said that saying no to its specific urges may feel like gouging out your eye or cutting off your hand or foot, saying goodbye, that is, to something you feel you cannot live without. Yet it has to be done, and God checks up on us to see whether or not we are doing it. For that, and nothing less than that, is the reality of our repentance. Repentance is a matter of mounting resistance to the impulse to go wrong again. It's not just feeling sorry for sin. It's a whole attitude that I sin, I do sin, and I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it. I do lust, but I'm going to fight it. I am spiritually lazy, but I'm going to fight it. I do have anger, but I'm going to fight it. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to address my will to this. I'm going to come and ask God for help. God checks up on our humility. To combat the great evil of pride, we have to learn humility. And God regularly checks up on us and how we're doing on this point. What then is humility? Again, I want to quote to you J.I. Packer. It is honest realism and realistic honesty. He's good with words. Whereas pride is all parading, play acting, and pretending, humility is rooted in facing facts. What facts? Well, the fact of our smallness and sinfulness before God. That's humility. When we face the fact that we are small and sinful before our great God. The fact of our weakness and inability to shape and control the future, whether our own or anyone else's, just because we are in the hands of a sovereign God. That humbles us when we know I cannot change my tomorrow. My sovereign God can, but I can't. The fact of our stupidity and silliness that lurks behind every pose of being smart and savvy that our pride prompts us to adopt. The fact of our inborn fascination with ourselves and constant concentration on being happy, fulfilled, and a success. The fact of being habitually self-conscious, concerned about what others think of us when we ought to be God-conscious in a way that takes us beyond ourselves. Facing these facts cuts us down to size, and humility grows out of being thus cut down. Do you find the Spirit of God working in your life, showing you who you are in the eyes of God, how small you are, and how helpless you are, why we need Him? Because if you're not, If not, you have in you and I have in me the principle of pride that's always raising his ugly head. So I hope you can see, and I'm not doing this to tear anybody apart and tear you down, neither is the Lord. As your pastor, I want you to know there are two paths. One that is grievous and harmful, and one that is a path of life everlasting. And as a shepherd, I have to warn you of those two paths so that you can examine yourself, be alert in prayer, catch yourself on what road you're on, and correct yourself because of who God is. And God is concerned because He is our great shepherd. And He does not want His sheep straying off. That's why Jesus said, keep watch, praying that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So be alert in prayer, watchful in prayer in regards to your spiritual health. But Peter also says, and I can't expound on these, I'm just going to say a quick word, but Peter says, be sober in spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion, seeking to devour us. We have to be alert and sharp. We have to be mindful we're in spiritual warfare. Paul says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So you have to be on the alert. You have to be sharp in prayer. In Ephesians, with all prayer and petition, pray at times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Prayer, when we're devoted to prayer and when we're alert in prayer, our eyes will turn away from ourselves and begin to turn to others. Are you alert to the needs of others? Are you alert when a couple walks in the church and they're strangely quiet? Do you find yourself just bowing silently and say, Lord, I don't know what the issue is in their life. Maybe they're having a battle. Maybe they're having a husband and wife disagreement. Maybe there's something they just have such a burden, they just don't have the strength to share. But God, would you comfort them? Would you give them strength to go whatever they're going through? Are you alert? Are you watchful? Are you prepared to pray at any second, but for others? And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, Paul says, and pray on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me and the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. We need to be alert, always pray for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'd like to spend more time on that, but we can't. But be alert. Be watchful to your health, to others, to your spiritual warfare, to the growing of God's kingdom. Always be devoted to prayer, and in your devotion, be alert, be watchful, awake, alive, not dead, not formal prayer, not mechanical prayers, but communing with the living God in that kind of a spirit. And lastly, we are to be devoted in prayer, we are to be alert in it, but we are to be alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. We are to be thankful as we watch in prayer, because we know that God's intent for us is not for our harm, but for our good. God cares for you, and God cares for me. That's why Peter said, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. We are all like little children in a mall. How quickly we can get lost. How quickly we can be separated from mom and dad. The God in his goodness and fatherly care calls upon us to be devoted to prayer, to be alert in it. He is protecting us from ourselves. He is protecting us from our own stupidity and our own, as Dr. Octavius Winslow said, there's a principle of perpetual drifting from God. And God takes his children. God knows it, and he wants us to know, and he wants to protect us from it. That's why he says, be alert in prayer. He wants to protect us from ourselves, and he wants to protect us from the evil one who is coming upon us to destroy our lives. And he encourages us not to just think of ourselves, but to think of others and pray for them as well. And to pray for the gospel, the good news, that people, just like who we once were, there are people walking on a road to destruction. And they are not walking on the road to everlasting life. And the gospel is God bringing sinners from the road of destruction to the road of life. And we need to pray for the spread of the gospel and of God's kingdom. Devote yourself to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Only God can do what we cannot do. And we're thankful because he can. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, a very small little verse, but yet very powerful. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And our Father, would you help us as a church, our God, as a people, as your children, our Father, to have our lives transformed, that we would be a praying people. Lord, it just seems that we cannot live life without praying, God. Father, we have times of prayer when we're quiet and alone. We have times of prayer where we're in the mall shopping, or times of prayer when we're talking to people and talking to them with our voice and talking to you silently in prayer as we talk to them in conversation. Always talking to you, God. That is good. Our Father, would you make us a people constant in prayer, steadfast in prayer, always a praying people. But Lord, would you also, Lord, cause us to, Father, to be alert and to watch. Father, to be alert to the way that is grievous in your eyes. And to know that, Father God, it's not just the devil, not just the world that's our problem. We are a problem to ourselves. And our Father, would you give us eyes and desire to have you check us up, Lord, check us over as a great physician, so that we may see and understand and turn away from those things, from those choices, from that pattern of life. And to, Lord, to walk with joy on the way everlasting. And our Father, would you put in us an attitude of thanksgiving? For Father, that shows our faith is healthy when we know that we are turning to the living God, the God who truly loves us and cares for us, that he's not against us, God. You are not against us. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And Father, there's nothing that can separate us from your love. God, would you give us the comfort of the gospel, the power of grace to transform our lives, that truly, Father, we would be thankful in our prayers as we pray for ourselves, as we pray for others, as we pray for the gospel, as we pray for the world. Our Father, may we be people who rest in you, who hope in you, who trust in you. So, Father, help us, help Providence to grow. Help us, Lord, to have strength and the desire to be a praying people. In Jesus' name, amen.